This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raider podcast. I'm your host, JT. This is the bye week edition, and next week we'll get you ready for the San Diego Chargers and that road trip. Can't wait to get down to San Diego, which always feels like a home game for the Raider Nation when they invade Qualcomm Stadium. The Raiders sit in the bye week with a record of 2-3 after the loss to the Denver Broncos, and they trail Denver by three games in the AFC West. The Broncos are 5-0. San Diego, coming off a heartbreaking loss on Monday Night Football to the Steelers, are 2-3 along with the Raiders, and Kansas City brings up the rear with a 1-4 record. We'll talk to Steve Wyche, the reporter from NFL Network, and Raider tight end Lee Smith will jump in a little bit later on. Well, we're sitting at the bye week, and I don't think it could come at a better time for the Silver and Black. After the news of Justin Tuck's injury, this team is banged up, especially in the secondary, on the offensive line. These players can use a week off to heal up, get treatment, and be ready for what I think is going to be a critical portion of this schedule coming up here. And I think most Raider fans, and especially the organization, are excited for the road trip at the Chargers. Then the Raiders get the Jets at home on November 1st. At the Steelers, where Big Ben Roethlisberger should be back by then or possibly could miss another week. And then the Vikings, and at the Lions, and at the Titans. This is the time where the Raiders, after two really tough losses at Chicago and a game last week to Denver where they kept Peyton Manning out of the end zone, Charles Woodson had two interceptions. That's a game that the Raiders should have won. So they got to get something out of this bye week. They got to be ready next week, and they've got to start accumulating wins. And the best place to do it, in the division at the Chargers. Raider Nation, unbelievable showing last Sunday at O.co Coliseum as Denver came to town. The place was packed. It was a loud crowd. Janikowski broke the record for most games played by a Raider, but a couple of mistakes late cost the Silver and Black that game. But the positive to take away is that the Raider defense really showed up and stopped one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. When we take a look at the defense, the Raiders are now fourth overall in rushing defense, giving up only 83.2 yards a game. The problem is their passing defense is ranked 31st at 299 yards a game. We knew with injuries and the lack of depth at the cornerback position, that could be a problem. On offense, they are 20th overall, 11th in passing, and 27th in rushing yards at 90 yards a game. They got to get Latavius Murray and that rushing game going as they get ready in over a week for that road trip to San Diego. Steve Wyche joins us from NFL Network. And Steve, thanks for doing this. As we begin, I want to jump in. I know you had a recent visit to the Raiders in Alameda, the new practice facility. You saw the coaches and the team. What'd you take away from that recent visit?
Well, JT, I was up there for practice and for the Broncos game. And, you know, I'd like to say, as of right now, this isn't your brother's Raiders. You know, we used to say this isn't your father's Raiders, but this isn't the Raiders in the recent generation where, you know, guys are making excuses as to why they don't win or why they don't perform well. This is a different mindset. And this, when you hear new coaches come place and they say they want to change the culture, you can see, at least at this point in the season, the pendulum is swinging in favor of Jack Del Rio. He's got these guys thinking, okay, when they lost against Chicago, I was talking to Derek Carr, he said, guys were mad. He's like, the year before, guys have been like, oh, well, you know, we lost, we'll get them next week. So guys were mad because they know they feel they lost that game to Chicago beating them. And then after the game against Denver, they felt the same way, that they left points on the board. You know, Carr had the giveaways. So this is a different team. They're going to be a tough out for everyone they play. And, you know, with Charles Woodson not only making plays, but willing the younger players, this is how we need to do this. When you've got that type of leadership, that's huge. You know, they're going to lose Justin Tuck. He has a torn pec. That's tough, a really tough blow. But this is a different team. There's talent. They're listening to their coaches. There's a fantastic staff there. you know, whoever has to play Oakland every week better know that, as Jack Del Rio likes to say, it's going to be a double chin strap game.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in the national media understand this coaching staff and how accountable Jack Del Rio is. Talk about the coordinators and Ken Norton Jr. and the philosophy he brought from Seattle. And then for Bill Musgrave to get another opportunity here with a quarterback like Derek Carr, those coaches have experience so Del Rio can oversee the staff, be that head coach, and keep these players accountable.
Yeah, you know, I dealt with Bill Musgrave when I used to work for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution when he coached in Atlanta. And the thing that's interesting about him is, yes, he's very flexible to the talent that he has. Now, the one thing we saw in the game against the Broncos that was a little bit frustrating was maybe they didn't take as many shots downfield as they could have, but a lot of that was because of Denver's defense, which is a fantastic defense. But Musgrave is a guy who will educate the teacher. He lets his players know why they're doing things. Here's what the results can be. And guys really communicate with him. In terms of Ken Norton, it's his first opportunity. So it's kind of a mashup of Jack Del Rio's defensive principles and his, and getting guys to function with them. And some things that we're seeing is, you know, how they're using Khalil Mack differently. You know, more as a hand in the dirt defensive end, because Ken Norton just wants to turn them loose. And we're seeing how well Khalil Mack has played so far this year. And so I think Ken Norton is learning as he's going, but clearly the hard-nosed edge he brings to the defense, he's not just one of these rah-rah guys, he knows how to coach, I think is coming up on display too, because the defense is making plays where it has to make plays.
Steve Weiss is our guest from NFL Network. Steve, what jumps out with me in the secondary, you mentioned Woodson. He's having a Pro Bowl year already early in the season, and he's playing banged up. But this is a pass defense that's ranked 31st in the league, giving up almost 300 yards a game. Their rushing defense, and they're big and stout up the middle, is 4th in the league at 83 yards a game. It seems like Reggie McKenzie, along with Jack Del Rio, long-term, still have to find a way to shore up the cornerback position and get more depth, especially with the injury you mentioned to Tuck, but on the back end with Nate Allen, as he came in as a safety, was supposed to have a big year before he was injured.
I think the cornerback play is absolutely the area that has to be addressed. You know, T.J. Carey was hurt last game, I believe, but they've got to, you know, D.J. Hayden, you know, was a first-round draft pick. Teams are picking on him. Teams are going after him, so he's used a vulnerability. That's where they've really got to tie some things in. And that's where maybe if you can go out in free agency in the offseason to help out a younger player who fits the scheme that you want to run. You don't want to just go and sign some guy who doesn't fit your scheme because he put up big numbers before. But I think a veteran player in free agency could help there. But you're absolutely right. Teams are going after these corners mercilessly. Even with Peyton Manning's arm issues, they really, you know, they didn't really attack the middle of the field, but they went after the corners. And that's going to continue to happen throughout the season.
Steve Weiss is our guest. Steve, I talked to Cliff Branch, who should be a Hall of Famer, and he said that he's never seen a rookie prepare as hard as Amari Cooper, and that says a lot. His preparation coming from Alabama, his attention to detail, his size, and the fact that Carr is locking in with him early, he should expect more double teams each and every week, and unfortunately for him, he has Crabtree on the other side. But don't you think the Raiders are going to have to develop that tight end position? Because there's got to be some open spaces down the middle of the field for Carr if Cooper and Crabtree are covered.
Well, you know, and they are. I mean, I think, you know, you saw against the Broncos game, there's some excellent plays from the tight end position. They love the rookie out of University of Miami. I'm blanking on his game right now, but he's a fantastic blocker. Now they want him to become more of a multidimensional threat. They see it there. He just needs to learn the game, some of the nuances of playing in the system. Clive Walford is his name.
Walford, yeah.
Yes, but this is a player they really like. And I think you're going to see that evolve through the season because he is a young player, but they're rotating three guys in there. And you're going to see that. As far as Amari Cooper getting double teams, that's going to be there the rest of his career because everyone knows now. So he's going to have to learn to play through it. He's going to have to be, you know, a little tougher. But everything I've seen with it is, you know, he got double teamed a lot in college too. Now he wasn't playing, you know, some of the talented players that he's playing against now. But at the same time, he's going to be just fine. He is a special player. Reminds me very much of Julio Jones in terms of work ethic, humility, and a guy who wants to be great.
And Steve, when you look at the division, you just saw Peyton Manning come to Oakland, not throw a touchdown, get picked twice. The Raider defense was exceptional in that game, and they lost an opportunity to win that game. Most people did not see Kansas City, even with that brutal schedule, to get off to such a slow start. Jamaal Charles now gone for the year. And San Diego, the Raiders get the San Diego Chargers off the bye week. San Diego was invaded by Steeler fans, and they lost on one of the more heartbreaking plays I've ever seen. And you remember the Holy Roller with Stabler to Casper that happened in that building. To get beat on a last play by the Steelers as Le'Veon Bell rushed it in, the Chargers are teetering at this point. Do you think the Raiders have a run left in them when you look at this schedule with teams like the Jets, at the Steelers, Vikings, at the Lions, at the Titans? They get the Chiefs twice, as I said, that if the Raiders can find a way to come off this bye week and get a win in San Diego to get back to 3-3, they can straighten the ship and make a run.
Well, they might be able to make a run. Keep in mind, everyone in the division has got to play that schedule for the most part, that out-of-conference schedule. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it. Yes, they do. I mean, JT, I think I was on with you earlier when I said I believe the Raiders 8-8 is not out of the realm. And that was in preseason, and that's with a brutal schedule. And maybe they can do better, but they still have some things to tighten up. You know, Kansas City, they're a hot mess. Even before Jamaal Charles got hurt, I mean, this is a defense that should be top five, and they're terrible. I mean, there's talent all over that defense, so you don't know what's going on that way. And San Diego, they've just got so many injuries. They're so beat up, especially along the offensive line, but they still have Phillip Rivers. And this is a guy who can almost will a team to win sometimes. And like you said, it was a heartbreaking loss. We'll see how San Diego bounces back from that, if that's going to be a crusher or if they're going to man up. But Oakland absolutely has an opportunity. And frankly, look, Denver's defense is fantastic. But there's some issues on that offense. I'm not sure they're necessarily going to go on any type of protracted losing streak. But they're a vulnerable team. I mean, they're a very week-to-week team, but I still like them to win the division.
Great job, Steve. The Raider Nation really appreciates it. I'll see you on the road. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you on NFL Network.
You got it.
It's a pleasure to welcome to the official Raider podcast, Raiders tight end Lee Smith. And Lee, thanks for coming on, and I'll get right to it. Those last two games, those are tough losses against the Denver Broncos and the Chicago Bears. I would assume this is a good time for the bye week to rest up and get ready for the San Diego Chargers the following Sunday. Lee Smith, tight end for the Oakland Raiders, joins us. Lee, first off, a good time for you and your teammates for the bye week, considering those really tough back-to-back losses. I think you would agree, two games you should have won.
Absolutely. You know, I think when you kind of get to the end of the season and look back on the long grind of what the season was, obviously there's a couple here and there that you lost that were close and a couple here and there that you won. So, you know, we had four close games the last week. We won two of them and lost two of them, and it obviously stings, but going into this bye, fortunately we have a bye early, so as a team we're just going to dust off the bumps and bruises from these two close losses and rest our bodies and get ready for this 11-week grind we have coming up.
Lee, I think it was important in that last game. You heard a lot on the defensive side with Woodson with the interceptions and the ability to keep Peyton Manning out of the end zone. That's something positive to build on because, as you know, Jack Del Rio, a loss is a loss. He doesn't spin it or sugarcoat it, but the fact that the defense stepped up, even though you on the offensive side, your teammates struggled a little bit getting the ball going, especially in that late drive, something to build on knowing that you could beat an undefeated team and take them right down to the wire.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's you never want to point fingers or take blame. It's a team sport. That's one thing Jack harps on is, hey, listen, we're in this thing together. But, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, we'd be lying to you if we said we weren't disappointed. You know, our defense didn't give up a touchdown all day, and we just couldn't quite get going. So, that's something that we take personal, and we're going to keep going to work, from Coach Musgrave to all us players, all us coaches, and we're gonna get it fixed. But absolutely, anytime you can leave a game like that, and you got a Hall of Fame quarterback back there that your defense kept out of the end zone. That's the great thing about this business is everyone out there is getting paid. There's great players all over the field. So typically there's always good things and there's always bad things, whether you win or lose. So, you know, we count on our defense to keep doing what they're doing, and the offense will get it fixed. And hopefully, like I said, we go into this 11-week stretch and win a lot of football games.
Lee Smith joins us, tight end for the Silver and Black. Lee, with three tight ends there and your ability to be a really physical run-blocking tight end, and you can catch the ball, you can find spots and windows to get open, is the right word frustrating? Because I know the Raiders want to go to the tight end position a little bit more, but now you got Crabtree and especially Amari Cooper there. Do you feel like it's difficult to get touches, or do you feel like you could have breakout games coming across this bye week where, hey, if they're double-teaming other guys, you can get open over the middle of the field?
Yeah, you know what? I'm definitely not the only tight end on this squad. Mike Rivera has caught a lot more footballs in this league than I have. Clive Walford's coming around. So, you know, I love our room. I think we have a very talented room. I think we're just as good as anybody else in the league. But at the same time, those two guys that we have out there on the edge are playing really good football right now, and they're getting open. And Derek trusts them, and they're kind of rolling right now. So as long as those two guys are producing like they're producing, and we get our running game back on track, Then the three of us, we'll take our balls when they come to us, man. Whatever it takes to win football games is what we're going to do. But it's no big secret that if those two guys keep beating up on people like they have been this first part of the season, then obviously defenses are going to have to start accounting for it. And whenever that time comes, then it'll be on us as tight ends to get in those openings and take advantage of the defense kind of jumping over on those two guys. So, once again, whatever the defense gives us, whatever the coach is calling us to do as players, man, that's what we're going to do. And, I hope Amari and Crab both have 100 catches this year. And you know what? If us tight ends start getting a little love as well along the way, great. But as long as we're winning football games, that's all that matters.
What's been the struggle with Latavius the last couple of games in the running game? Have defenses been planning for you? I know the Bears were a really physical team, and then Denver came in with the number one overall defense, number two passing defense. It's never easy to run the football there, but is that something you can fix at practice coming off the bye week and looking at film and get Latavius going again?
Absolutely, and that's a great thing about having a Jack Del Rio as your head coach. You know, he'll come into our offensive meetings and he'll kind of say, hey, listen, this is how I would stop you guys if I was game planning against you. You know, we have Coach Mike Tice, who's kind of in control of our run game. He played in the league a long time. He's coaching this league a long time. So we have two guys with kind of their hands on, kind of figuring out the little imperfections in our run game in the last few weeks. And you got to give credit where credit's due. You know, the Bears and the Broncos, obviously up front, are very talented. And then they did a good job in the last two games. But as an offensive unit, especially us big guys up front, and Latavius can get better along with all of us. But the blame definitely does not just land on Latavius' back or any of ours individually. We just got to clean up all the little things, all the little fits that we might miss. If you wait a split second to make a decision, you know, the linebacker is gone and by you and making the play. So we got a good chance to kind of collect our thoughts here, figure out the little things that we need to get fixed and get them fixed. And Latavius is a great back, as good as anybody in this league. And we're going to keep handing him the ball, and all of us up front are going to get him going.
Lee Smith joins us, tight end for the Raiders. What's the transition been like for you after 4 years in Buffalo, going out to Alameda in Oakland, playing in front of the rabid Raider Nation? Talk about the personal fit for you and how much you've loved this transition going from one side of the country to the other.
You know what? It's been great. You know, I'm married. I have four kids, so it's been obviously a transition for my entire family. But as far as my football life, my teammates are awesome. You know, they've welcomed me in with open arms like I've been here forever from day one. And you know what? It's Raider Nation, man. It's the black hole. It's playing on baseball dirt. It's kind of the old school concrete stadium, get in there and get your hands dirty. So hopefully, you know, I've earned the respect of my teammates, and I really like the atmosphere. I like kind of, you know, the old school approach to the Raider organization. And you know what? Just like it was in Buffalo with the Jim Kelly days and all those days when they were winning a lot of football, there's been the same thing around here. These fans have all seen, you know, a lot of winning teams. So it's on us to, you know, get back to work after we take this break, which we're all going to do. You know, the environment around the facility has been great. Nobody's heads are down. Everybody's just anxious to rest their bodies and get back to work. So I'm very happy to be a member of this organization. And I think it's a great fit for me personally. And I just hope that my teammates and coaches feel the same way.
Hey, Lee, I got to give you a nickname, at least with me, as dad. You're 27 with four kids, moving the family and making the transition. What's that been like for the kids, and especially being a dad? That's your priority in life, playing for this proud organization, grinding every week. Talk about family, because the Raiders have a history of family from Al Davis, now the owner Mark Davis. It's a family atmosphere. Talk about that transition with you as a father with your wife and the kids.
Absolutely, man. When you come into this organization, you know, there's a lot of faces that have been here a very long time. You can tell that Mr. Davis, both Mr. Davis, are obviously loyal people. And, you know, anybody's kids, families, wives, husbands, you know, everybody's always welcome. It's a very welcoming feeling around the organization, from training camp practices to, you know, game days. So it's been great, especially for a guy like me who has four little ones running around all the time. And you know what, for me, I've said it once, I'll say it a thousand times. This wife of mine, which, God bless her, I don't know why she's still around, but she's the one that deserves all the credit, especially this time of year. You know, I come home for dinner and bedtime. So she's a warrior. She travels all over the country with me. Tennessee is home for us. So, you know, we spend a lot of time in Tennessee in the off season and this and that, but my kids, they switch schools midway through the year, so they're resilient. They do it. They never complain. So I got a tough little crew of kids and an awesome wife. So it makes it easy on me just to go to work and worry about football this time of year.
Nicely said. I think the fans really appreciate that, because you're talking about the guidance that your wife gives to the family as you're out there earning a living and putting your body on the line. As we wrap this up, I wanted to ask you about last week's game against Denver, because the conversation around the NFL was the Raiders couldn't stop a tight end, and then they were able to slow down and pretty much stop Owen Daniels there. Did that have a lot to do with you guys also in practice and what you guys do every day competing against that defense? Because you got three tight ends, and obviously the national media, the background chatter was this the game that the Raider defense was finally going to slow down a tight end, and they were able to do it on top of that against Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I think it's a testament to everybody. It's hard to really throw a dart and figure out who deserves the credit, whether it was, you know, we have a practice squad tight end and Gabe Holmes that does a lot of the look team stuff and is a great young player, and then obviously me, Mike, and Clive kind of filling the gaps here and there. But you know what? It's just like our run game on offense the last couple weeks. You know, obviously, tight ends had caught a few too many balls, you know, in the previous games. And I think it was something that our defensive coaches, our defensive players, and Jack wanted to make sure they nipped in the butt. And they obviously got that accomplished. So, you know, there's ups and downs and adversity, you know, at all times in this league. And I think as long as you, you know, kind of nip the things in the butt when you're having issues with them and keep everything else kind of on track, then that's how you win games. So, sure, if you want to give all of us the credit, we'll take it. But I think everybody kind of deserves it, you know, especially the coaches.
Sure.
With putting themselves in. And you know what? Jack was with Peyton. So Jack kind of understood, you know, where Peyton wanted to go with the ball in certain situations, and if we were pressuring him, where his check downs were, and you know, obviously their screen game is really successful. So, you know, Jack being with Peyton in the past few years, I think obviously was helpful. And you know what, those guys had a great game plan. That guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and our defense kept him out of the end zone. So everybody on the defensive side of the ball for the Oakland Raiders deserves that credit.
Hey, Lee, last one. I'm assuming, and you don't have to, that's what I do, but the Chargers are playing at Green Bay. If they lose that game, that's a tough place to play. They'd go to 2-4. The Raiders would be at 2-3. Kansas City's in trouble at 1-4, and Denver's out to a 5-0 start. This is a big one against the Chargers, and this is a big road trip to get down there. It's a short road trip coming off the bye week. It's a circle game. It's a game you got to have, obviously, in the division and the overall playoff picture, and it gets you back to 500 at 3-3 if you win the game.
You know, I think every game is just as important as the next. Once again, you know, you get to that week 14, 15, 16, that's when you start thinking about the playoffs and where your numbers are and which game you have to win. So, sure, it's easy to say this game is a must win because, you know, as a Raider organization, we sure as heck don't want to be 2-4. But at the same time, every game's must win right now, man. Mm-hmm. You know, regardless of what the Chargers do this week against Green Bay, if there was an exact science to this whole thing, then I'd just start betting in Vegas and retire. So anybody can beat anybody any Sunday. That's been proven for the last 50 years. And you can't ever, you know, consider yourself 100% winner or anything else. So we respect the Chargers. We're going to go to work like we were 5-0. And we just need to go out and win, man. And absolutely sure, it does mean a lot to get back to 500 and kind of get the second half of our season after our bye going. But those guys are a great team. And regardless of what happens in Green Bay, they're going to be ready for us just like we're ready for them.
Great job, Lee. Thanks for joining us, and I'll catch up with you on the sidelines in San Diego. Thanks so much for the time.
Hey, man. Thank you.
So thanks again to Lee Smith for joining us. Interesting story about being a father, loving this team, and this stage of his career. We wish him nothing but the best. Also, Steve Weiss, who joined us from NFL Network. Raider Nation, thanks for listening to the official Raider podcast. You can hit me up directly at JT the Brick. Remember to go to Raiders.com or download the podcast on iTunes. I hope you're taking the trip. If you're listening to us on the global Raider Nation, if you're coming out to San Diego, reach out to us. Let us know you're going. For the Raider fans in Southern California and Northern California in the Pacific time zone who are taking that annual trip to San Diego, we'll see you on the ground at Qualcomm. I'm JT the Brick. Have a great week. We'll be back with the Chargers podcast next week. Have an outstanding weekend.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.